All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles back into 1 Thessalonians, and we're in the fourth chapter, and we're going to be in the 13th through the 18th verse this evening, and I believe this is one of the most exciting passages in the entire Word of God. To think, who me, what he saw, I'm thankful that he saw it, because remember, what he sees is what counts. He's looking and discerning the hearts, brothers and sisters. I'm hopeful to God that we can get that type of a vision, to have those dove's eyes, the eyes that are just full of love, that we can truly rejoice one for another. As Brother Paul, that's the joy that he was able to have, was truly the joy of the Lord, as our dear brother was testifying. I appreciate Brother Rick's testimony last week, as he understood it wasn't put in us, it was put in Christ. And Christ was put in us, praise the Lord, and it's Christ in me, and it's Christ in me. And that's the confidence that we have. That's why we can be completely confident, because it isn't of us, it's Him, it's His life. And He gave us His very life, praise God. So as we get into this, I guess we'll just jump right in, and let's pick it up from the 13th verse of the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and there is the key, believing. The qualification, brothers and sisters, is faith. This will have no effect, but it works effectually in them that believe. And you know how effectually this is. And I believe all of us have come to the place where we've had to face death. But praise the Lord, as we know in Him, a Christian doesn't see that death. Sure, in a sense, it's called the first death, but that death has no dominion. Praise God, He's taken care of that, and we know it's in Him. So here it is in that 14th verse. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And that's where we're at right now, anticipating that moment, praise God, when we shall see Him face to face, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And it is going to be a glorious gathering, isn't it? It's going to be marvelous, magnificent. But let me tell you something. She is interested in meeting one person, and that's the Lord in the air. All of that other is going to be fringe benefit, praise God, and that is going to be part of that wonderful body, as we've been rejoicing in, that we have Christ the head, and then there's that body, and even the body from within the body, that bride, we love one another. And God is knitting us into that love, brothers and sisters, and I hope and pray that you sense this excitement in the Spirit that God has given you. Now, as we begin this, the Spirit, through Paul, addresses death. And death, as opposed to what the world seems to want to do with it, is not something we just shelve, or something that we just forget about, or try to deal with by ignoring it. Christ Jesus wants to face us to face this, and Christ Jesus wants us to know about our home going, and the abounding of hope, praise God, in the home going. That as the Word tells us, that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. That absent from the body, absent from the body, we are present with Christ. We are right there with Him. I'm so grateful to God that we don't ever, as Christians, really face this death. When the moment we accepted Christ, He gave us His life, and it's everlasting life. Praise God. And that's where I'll be. The moment that I leave this world, it's going to be face to face. And as He says here, and as He said about Lazarus, he sleeps. He just sleeps. But praise be to God, and I want us to really understand this, that Christ calls it sleep. so that we could understand that. And as he was trying to explain to those brothers and sisters, he's not dead. I'm the resurrection. Let me tell you something. When I call him forth, he's coming forth. And he came forth in those burial clothes. And I'm sure he scared a lot of people he was walking around. But let me tell you something. When you leave this life, we celebrated, by the grace of God, Brother Merv being face to face with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. He's wide awake. He's alive. And he's looking right into the face of Jesus Christ. He is present with him. Christ is at the right hand of the Father. We know that. And if I'm going to be present with the Lord, let me tell you something. I'm going to be in great company. The best company there could ever be. I'm going to be present with Jesus. So let that be such a comfort to our hearts, brothers and sisters. But do notice here. It isn't that we do not sorrow, because we really do sorrow. When we love with the love of Christ, let me tell you something. You're loving with the greatest love there's ever been. I appreciate Brother Paul as he said about his sweet brother. He said, Lord, don't let me have sorrow upon sorrow. Spare his life. He wanted that fellowship. He wanted that brother with him. And we miss those brothers and sisters that have gone on before us. But again, we say thanks be to God that it's not goodbye. It's not a goodbye. At all, it's not a goodbye when we part with these loved ones. It's not sorrowing as the world does. And the world should sorrow. Let me tell you something. Apart from knowing Christ as Savior. And we need to be very definite about this in a day and an age where people don't like to speak of these things. But apart from Christ, you're facing a Christless eternity. The Word of God tells us very clearly, it's hell. And there's a place prepared for hell, and it's called the lake of fire, and it is an eternal death, an eternal separation from the light of this world, our Jesus. So they should sorrow. But again, we have hope. And in that hope, it is not goodbye. In that hope, praise God, it's just so long, and I'll see you in that glorious morning. I'll see you, praise God, when it's present with the Lord. Never, never to not see that face again. Praise Jesus. I'm thankful as I look into that glass darkly as He's given us right now. It's becoming more clear, though. I get more excited every day. Oh, Lord. There's sometimes I believe by His grace I'm even stroking the very sweet face of my wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God how He has us. Hallelujah. Four. We believe and we know, it says here. Isn't that wonderful? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and praise God that we know this, that Jesus did die and Jesus did rise again. And it was for me. It was for you. And it needs to be that personal, brothers and sisters. Yes, He died for this world, but praise God, He died for me so that He would one day raise us into glory with Him. And why should this be hard to fathom? You know, some people think, well, come on now. It's been a long time. Are we really going to go with this one? Well, He's already done it. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. That's Matthew chapter 27. And let's start reading from the 50th verse. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened. Uh-oh. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And notice that. Didn't say all of the saints did it. It said many of those saints. And why not all, brothers and sisters? Because we know the Word of God tells us that some will precede others. The bridal type is consistent throughout the Word of God. There's a rank. There's a order. There's one star that differeth from another in glory. And praise be to God, this is that type. As we read back in Genesis, Enoch was not. He didn't die. God raptured him. Same with Brother Elijah. Turn over, since we're visiting on that, let's go over to 1 Corinthians, and we'll go to the 15th chapter. Stay with this thought. And we'll begin reading in the 22nd verse. So that's 1 Corinthians 15:22. And it says here, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." See, in Christ we're alive. "But every man in his own order," or his own rank. "Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." The rank, the order. Why don't we go over to the 40th verse? "There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead." I don't know how much more clear it could be. That Christ in me truly is the hope of glory. And the Lord's been very much dealing with my life. I appreciate when people speak of a reflection, and that's a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you, I believe that's a moon glory. I want Him magnified in me. She has her own light, brothers and sisters. And it's Him. And she can't help but shine. She radiates. She beams. She knows that she is loved. She knows that He chose her. "You're mine, honey. You're mine." And she just falls into His arms and says, "I'm yours." Hallelujah. She surrenders to that. "I appreciate that. I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. I'm so thankful that I love Him. I'm so thankful that my desire is toward Him. But I'm so grateful that His desire is toward me." That gets it all done. He's the one that abides faithful. And as I have a more clear vision of that love that He has for me, that He has for you, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. You'll just fall in love. You'll say, "Oh my." And as I was visiting with a sister here today, I said, and I get to a day and I said, "Oh Lord, it just couldn't be any greater. There couldn't be any more." And then the next day it was like, "Oh Lord, I never saw a thing. I can't believe where I am yet this day." It's amazing. See, that's only God can do that. Only He can do that. But let's understand who these saints are that we're talking about here. And it's so important to grasping the depth, I believe, that's lying within this passage that we have. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. And we're speaking here of those the many graves that were opened at that time when Christ rose. And let's read about this. "Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." And the word there in the Greek refers to a prior resurrection. Praise God. An earlier one, praise the Lord, to be with Him at an earlier moment as many of those graves were open. And this is speaking here, brothers and sisters, of the Old Testament worthies of faith. Some obtained a better, some obtained a prior. And oh, how many of God's people today, they don't want to hear this, do they? "Well, I feel a lot better if we're just all going to go at the same time. I'm watching you, you look at me, and here we go." Now, is that what the Word of God tells us? That we're all just going to join hands around here and, "Oh, here we go, here we go." Who love His appearing. I hope by the grace of God that you attain. But I'm telling you what, the only one by His grace that I can have yield is this life right here. Same with you. And by the grace of God, I'm yielding my life to Him. I want to be ready. I don't want to miss that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's just too much there. It's too beyond. He's captivated our hearts with it, brothers and sisters. It is worth it all. When we see Jesus, praise God. Let me tell you something. None of this. And we need to have that vision right now. That it's worth it, Christ. It is worth it, hallelujah, to see you, my precious Lord. All right, so going on with this thought, a lot of people don't want to hear this. But we understand a lot of people don't want to hear the Word of God. A lot of Christians don't want to hear the Word of God. But this is the epitome of that Christ is truly going to have a bride. It goes on for this separation and this separation. That there's going to be an elect lady, a company that's going to be displayed. And brothers and sisters, you've heard me say this before. They talk about the Great Commission. The Great Commission at this day is that Christ is going to have a bride. That's the calling. That's what we're called to right now. The Great Commission, when every creature is going to be preached the gospel, that's not here yet. Know the Word of God. It's going to be a wonderful time. But the time right now is for us to grow into Him in all things. To grow up. To be ready. All men be saved and come to that full knowledge, the complete, the exact knowledge of the truth. That Christ Jesus is going to have a bride. That's what this church age is about. And it's coming. Praise God. We're going to get into that fifth chapter, Lord willing, in a couple weeks. And you're going to read about brothers and sisters that God forbid we would be in that company. But they're asleep and they're drunken. Because they're in the night. There's a darkness. They're not wanting to see it. They still have eyes. But they're not seeing these things. They have ears and they're not willing to hear it. It's there for them. It's there for us. You've heard me say this before. We don't have a corner on this market. Praise God, the one thing I have learned is, Lord, corner me. Pin my ears back. Praise the Lord. Let me just submit and surrender to this wonderful calling that you have for us. And boy, what a great love it is. But this is the bridal calling at this time. It's time truly to grow up. And that is Ephesians 4:15. Revelation 4:4. We'll go ahead. I think we have time. Let's go ahead and turn over there. So many other verses, but I believe God, through His Spirit, is directing us that this is what it will be a little bit more clear. In Revelation 4:4 it says, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now, this is that same company that many of those graves were opened. This is that same company here. This is the first company that's seen in heaven, brothers and sisters. But this is not the bride. And don't mistake that. And you'll see why, I believe, as we come through the finishing of this study tonight, why it is so important, by the grace of God, that we do see these proper types and symbols and shadows in their appropriate places, because the Word of God is perfect. There's no gaps. There's no errors. It's absolutely seamless. The wonderful Lord and His pattern of what He's doing here. But even though they're not the bride, they are the full overcomers. They won God's best to what was offered to them of that day. Now, how do we know these things? Well, throughout the Word of God, there's types and signs and shadows of that. But here we can evidently see that number 24. The numbers speak of things. And it says 24 elders. And the number 24 speaks of the priesthood. It speaks of Israel. It speaks under the Levitical priesthood. And these were those of the priests. Praise God. The highest place that was offered. The ones that could go in at that time. And praise the Lord, those are the ones that are the type of this overcoming. You go into Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, "The kings and priests." At that moment, he's speaking of the four living ones as well as the 24 elders. And you can see that the 24 elders would make up that company of priests, whereas the four living ones would be that royalty of ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. And praise be to God that we have that example going forward throughout His wonderful Word. Now going on, as we get into the 15th verse, something that's so precious that he says. Brother Paul says, these aren't our thoughts. God forbid these things would be our thoughts. It's the Word of God. That's the proof. That's what it is. It's the Word of God. These are the things that the Lord has told us. And nothing could be sworn by greater. It's true, it's pure, and it's impossible for God to lie. So in that, now what He brings to us is those that are alive. And Paul here now talks about these that are alive, and he puts himself in that company. And he says there in the 15th, the word that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now he is not referring to all the Christians that were taken breath upon the earth at that time. This went much more deeper than that. He's talking about those who are alive. And the word in the Greek of alive is zao. And this is the living hope. This is a quickened life. This is an alive and rejoicing as the very God the Father Himself. The four beasts alive. The four living ones. That word, if you go back into the root and you go back into the book of Revelation, that four living one is that same alive. It's the same root. Those four living ones are the only company that are found, as we know, brothers and sisters, in the very midst of the throne. Now take it for what you will, but most importantly, take it as the Word of God. This is that offering that, praise the Lord, that Jesus Christ is going to have a queen. And she is going to rule and reign jointly with Him. I am so grateful to God that we have that wonderful type in Esther. As she stood out there before that king, she had no right to be there. Death was the only thing rightfully that she would have received. But when he saw how beautiful that she was, and praise the Lord, do you see how beautiful Christ sees you? And we have to have that vision by His grace of what He's completing in our life. It's nothing of me. It's still Christ in me. But as that king saw her, he was so ravished at his heart that he couldn't do anything but come to her and say, "What is thy petition?" And then he didn't even let her speak then. And he just says, "I'll tell you what, honey, it's all yours." Even though that word says up to half. If you really interpret that right, it's yours. What's yours is mine. What's mine is yours. She's joint. She's co. There isn't any, this is my half and this is your half. By the grace of God, this is the marriage of marriages. Now you're willing to go there? Come on now. Now you're thinking, oh, well, this is Christ we're talking about. Come on, brother. I know He loves us. But I just kind of think it makes me feel a little better to, He's loving me as a child. And I'm the little guy that gets on his knee and, you know, and that's a precious thing. Amen. But He wants a bride. I don't know too many fellas that I've ever met that didn't want a bride. Okay? Now, we studied all through Corinthians, and let me tell you something, that feller's even better. But this is a fella that's going to have a bride. And the Father, by the grace of God, is searching for. And He's searching for the true worshiper, isn't He? Isn't that wonderful? You talk about being sincere. This isn't just talking the talk, brothers and sisters. This isn't just coming around and say, oh, I can quote these verses. Oh, I know about this bride thing. I've heard it a bunch of times and I'm just going to sit at home and that's great and I know it. You want to be around her body because you can't help but be around her. And I'm not trying to suggest anything to be funny here, but I'm telling you something. When you really fall in love with a woman, you fall in love with every bit of her. There isn't one bit that you don't want around you. You want her in your presence. You want to see her. You want to gather with that wonderful body. God help us if we don't want to be around those of like precious faith, that by the grace of God have a calling, that truly are entering into saying, Lord, I will go. I understand and I've heard this and the Holy Spirit is wooing me. But by the grace of God, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to mount upon that camel gladly and say, take me on. Now, are those the people that you want to be around? I pray God it is, because it is a requirement. Fervent love. We rejoiced in it Sunday. I believe that God's got some more rejoicing in it this Sunday if you tarry. He's hitting on it. We got to come into that. But praise the Lord, this is the alive of the four living ones in the midst of the throne. The only company that's seen there. That's Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. It says they have six wings, that they're full of eyes within and without. Those wings speak of the overcomer. Those eyes speak of a vision beyond a vision, just the perfect vision. It's the overcoming vision, and that's what they have. And this alive, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, is as opposed to the ones that we're going to study of in chapter 5 that didn't have a vision, that are asleep or that are drunken in the night. The ones that miss the first trump. The ones that miss this trump. The ones where the vision is darkened. The ones that are in and of the night. Brother Hill used to say, you can't run around with the hoot owls if you expect to soar with the eagles in the morning. And he's right. I've hooted enough. And I don't like that night. Praise God to be of the day, walking in the light. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And that light of love, eternal hope. Praise God, I'm living today looking for Jesus. What could be better than that? There isn't a better day than that. I don't care what happened that day. There isn't a better day than, Lord, I'm living this day by your grace, looking for you. Praise his name. All right, let's keep moving on. So, we have this alive company, which will love his appearing. And those that love his appearing will see him that second time. It's a company that's going to precede those that are not in love with him as the first love. Remember how he said that to the church of Ephesus? All of those wonderful things. But I have one thing against you. You left your first love. Now, where are we? Are we entertaining the things of this world? Is my heart's affection set down here somewhere? Is there something that important, worth it, that I would miss that first trump? And you only get one shot. Because it is the first trump. That's why it's called that. Not here by the grace of God to make us nervous. That's not it. Not here to make us fearful. It's not a fearful heart that's going to win him. It's going to be a heart in love. A heart so in love with him. A heart so in love with his love for her. That's the heart that's going to win him. So, Enoch was not because he walked with God. Paul stated, I'm ready to be offered. That's a mighty statement, isn't it? Praise the Lord that he could say something like that. But I'm thankful that that brother, even though he knew that he had fought the good fight, he had kept the faith, he had finished his course, he was still moved in spirit, in that love, to be thinking of those that were with him, and that if the Lord tarry, those that would come after him, not unto me only, but to them also that love his appearing. Praise God. Follow me as I follow Christ. Lord, write this upon our hearts. Again, don't let this be something we just recite, but this is something we live because this is our life. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. Now, let's go on to this. But they will not prevent them. So this bridal company that is alive and remaining to the coming of the Lord, the ones that are raptured that way, that did not face death, they're not going to prevent them that are asleep. Now let's talk about those that are asleep. And please note here that these are not all the dead in Christ. Now a lot of people will think, oh, well, these all are the ones that have died and they're all going to go up at this time. And here's the bridal ones that have been looking. Now, just as we read in Matthew 27, Christ Jesus did not open all the graves of all the saints, just the ones that had obtained a better resurrection. All right? And those were the full overcomers in the Old Testament. And just as every man was in his own order then, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, they're still going to be in their own order now. Hallelujah. And it's going to continue. And these are the ones, these ones that are asleep in Christ, that we didn't prevent them, which are asleep. These are the ones that are in the type that we see in the church of Smyrna in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. So simply, brothers and sisters, these are the full overcomers in the church age. These are bridal saints that have gone to be with the Lord. Okay? So let's not make this difficult. Let's just read it for what the Word of God is telling us. These are the ones that have preceded us. Brother Paul, I believe by the grace of God, how about Silas? How about Timothy? Priscilla, Aquila, all of those wonderful ones. And as Brother Hill, I was as the Lord had me studying this, I think of how he used to spiritually rejoice in the lives of Sister Burge, Sister Wilson, Brother Copley, Sister Mooneyhan, all the different ones. And remember how he'd get out here and he'd get that old glory smile upon his face and he'd say, you know, someday I think I'm going to be back there in my office and I'm going to see old Copley come in there and he'd say, come on, Dee, let's go. Now, I don't know exactly how he's going to do it, but I know it's going to be beyond my own any imagination, anything I ever thought. But praise the Lord, it's coming. It's coming. And I do and will emphasize so greatly, brothers and sisters, one of the greatest testimonies in my entire life, and there have been quite a few, but was right before Brother Hill went to be with the Lord, how sick and ravaged that body was. And I'm sure there was a natural sense of, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go. I would gladly trade maybe this in a sense. But there wasn't one moment that he didn't speak of meeting the Lord in the air. That's what he was rejoicing in. That's what Brother Paul was living for, brothers and sisters. To the moment that he took the last breath. Oh, Lord, could you still come this moment? That's it. That's it. That's the bridal wooing of a heart. Praise God how this can just overwhelm us. But here's how it happens. Let's put this whole thing in context. Jesus descends. Isn't that wonderful? See, he doesn't just go sending his angels. Oh, no. He's coming personally. Just as he always does. He's a personal Savior. I'm grateful to God for angels. Don't ever lose sight. It's Jesus. Don't. This whole world in so many different ways, they'll use things, and you know it's just the enemy, to try to get you off the name above every name. It's Jesus. He's the one who keeps me. He's the one who holds me. He's the one that directs me. He's the one that died for me, and praise God, he's the one that's coming for me. Oh, yes, he is. Grateful to old Stephen as he looked up into heaven. And there was the Lord standing with his Father. He didn't just send the angels. Oh, no. Come on, son. Come on. Isn't that wonderful? Man, we've got hope. Hallelujah. But there he is, sitting at the right hand of God. And the Father's going to turn to him someday. And he's going to say, son, go get her. And that's why he screams. That's the trump of God. I don't know if it's going to be a big woo-wee. But it's going to be exciting, man. I'm going to tell you. It's going to be an excitement like this whole universe the ages have never seen. It's never going to end. You talk about a lover. That honeymoon never, ever, ever, ever stops. Because, brothers and sisters, he is the mighty angel of Revelation 10. His voice, the trump of God. And so sweet to notice that this first trump, and there's going to be many other trumps. Revelation tells us about that. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says the last trump. So there's a first trump, there's trumps in the middle, and there's a last trump. And it just so happens tonight we're reading about the very first one. Now, I've heard people say, well, I don't want to be hoggish. I don't think wanting to be in the first trump is maybe the most Christian-like thing. I've heard it. I don't know if you have. I've heard people say that kind of stuff. Shame on you. Let me tell you something. When you're in love, you want to get in the front of the line. When you're in love and you want to see somebody, I'm telling you, and I've told you this many times, when they used to let you do this in the airports, I used to go get my wife down here at Stapleton. And I think I was a pretty polite fella. But I can't tell you how many people I pushed over and how many older ladies I probably threw to the ground to get to my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife then. But just my sweetheart. I wanted to see her. I didn't want to have anybody else see her first. I was standing right there. How about the Lord? Huh? Come on. I appreciate that He can give me some sweet thoughts of Him. I hope you do too. But I don't want you to be confused here, because some people will get a little bit, sometimes we get a little cerebral. And that's all of us. I'm not going to just refer to some. Sometimes I'll do it myself. But in 1 Corinthians 15:52, he talks about at that last trump, and he talks about him being at the last trump, Paul himself. It talks about Paul being at the first trump. So how could he be at the last trump and the first trump? Well, let me tell you something. Once you enter that first trump, I got a body likened to His own glorious body. Do you know I just stepped into omnipresent? I just stepped into omniscient. Can you imagine that? Come on. I'm going to be like Him when I see Him. Praise you, Jesus. This is why nothing's hard for God. Just read it for what it is. We're going to be like Him. Praise His name. And He's referring here as well to the day of the Lord. And we've talked about this day of the Lord before. Let me tell you something. That's a long day. That's a day, if you really look at it, it's about 1,007 years. Because it starts at this trump. Goes all the way through by the grace of God to the end of the millennium. Isn't that something? Now, aren't you thankful? He said, and a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. The perfection in the Word of God. Oh, I love how He does these things. It just confirms and reconfirms His perfect truth. And His bride, brothers and sisters, is going to be in every part of that. Do you know that? And she is going to be in every part of that, ruling and reigning with Him jointly. You're hearing some things, aren't you? But more importantly, are you seeing some things? Is He giving you a vision in your heart of this precious truth? That this is the place that He wants. Brothers and sisters, He didn't give us the type of a natural marriage for nothing. When we truly have become one, we even prefer the other, don't we? We want that one to be even more esteemed than ourselves. Now, how in our lives, by the grace of God, as we're called into that, we want to magnify the Lord. And Christ Jesus wants to magnify Himself in us. And she is going to be such a glory. Praise God, she comes down as the bride adorned. I'm telling you. You're something. God willing. God willing. This has apprehended us, but have we apprehended this? Yeah. Oh, yes. What a wonderful, wonderful offering. Praise God. Now, furthermore, you have to think about His coming. Do you know His coming covers about 7 years? It does. Because He comes and He takes His bride. And He comes and He takes the numeral multitude. And He comes and He has the 144,000 and the witnesses. And praise God, those that are under the altar. Do you see this coming of the Lord and over this span of time and how exciting that is? And further, remember, brothers and sisters, it culminates with the tabernacle of God is now with men. The entire body, it's complete. It's complete. She's complete. Hallelujah. It's all there, resurrected with Christ. And what a day that will be. His Father there. His Son. The bride. The guests. All assembled in the air. What a day. What a day. Praise His name. So let's wrap this up here this evening. So we see, brothers and sisters, that the Smyrna saints are the first ones. The dead in Christ shall rise. The Philadelphia saints immediately preceding. And all caught up together with them in the clouds. Well, we didn't talk about that cloud yet, but we really did. But let's address it here briefly before we go. And I hope you realize that these are not just any clouds. And I've told you before, I've got kind of an affinity with those clouds. I love to fly up into them clouds. I like to fly through them, break down into them. And then when you break up over them and that sun is just out there, or even at night as you're going through the clouds, one of the most glorious things to see is you break up at the top and then there's the moon. It's a whole different glory, and it is. It is. He knows what He's talking about. He created it all. And the magnificence of His creation, the things that we can understand. He's saying, well, I'll tell you what, you're going to be like that in what you can kind of comprehend, but it's going to be so much beyond that for them that love Him. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. But the clouds throughout much of Scripture, brothers and sisters, refer to companies of believers. So who is this company that's already up there in the air, that meets Smyrna, that meets Philadelphia, that's with the Lord? Well, you're right. It's the 24 elders. It's the full overcomers in the Old Testament. Matthew 27, the many graves that were opened when Christ rose from the dead. Now, do you see the absolute perfection that's there? Absolutely perfect. Nothing to be confused about by the grace of God. Things to study over and over because it's my title deed. He wants me to know this stuff. He doesn't want me to just gloss over this. I've heard of people saying, oh, that book of Revelation, that's for someday. How foolish. Don't be silly. He gave it to you. And let me tell you something. He gave us this wonderful word and He wants us to know it. Because this is His love. These are His love letters to us, brothers and sisters. This is what God has for us. And come to a full knowledge of the truth. Oh, God, may we listen to You. The pattern is nothing but perfection through and through. Does it thrill you to see? Does it excite you to see the excitement of that wonderful gathering? Really? It's amazing what it's going to be. And it's never going to end. In the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, the overcoming saints meeting Jesus in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. A time of never ending, always present at home. Never, never, never to be apart again. And as the Word of God says in the 18th verse, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And brothers and sisters, what a comfort this is. Because you are going to come, and I know you've come to these times before, where nothing comforts you. Where you look around for something to try to satisfy you, to comfort some situation that you're in, and everything fails. But this is something that never does. Because it truly is the sovereign cry of the Lamb's wife. This is the hope that sees her through everything. Lying flat on your back, I don't care, you could be broke as broke. You could be as broken as broken. But if God has made this real to your life, that Jesus is coming, that praise be to God, I'm going to be there. Simply put, when I see Jesus, that's a comfort that comforts everything. And you know it. By the grace of God, if this really is struck home, you know it. It's going to be worth it all when we see Him. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You for supping with us this evening. We thank You for Your wondrous Word. Lord, as You say, it works effectually in them that believe. Help us to believe it. Open our hearts this evening, God. Help us to break up the fallow ground. Help us to make a move for You. You're drawing us, Lord Jesus. I know You are. You wouldn't have us here this evening if You did not want us to receive this. So, Lord, I just commit this time, these lives to You. What precious souls that are in the balance. You're coming soon, and even so come, Lord Jesus. In that precious name, amen.